Yo, 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 it's the Game Time Show, bro. I'm Keith.
I'm Stevie.
And I'm Kevin.
And we'll be your bros for the evening. Kev, Steve, I hate to lead with this, but we were talking about balls a lot just now.
We were.
Dude, my mom listens to this podcast, okay?
So every podcast, I make us do a sound check. In every podcast, we don't take it seriously at all. And it doesn't help. So if the volume seems off, it's because we were screaming balls into the microphone.
We were talking a lot of balls.
But it was for a very mature purpose, which was to test the sound levels.
Yes. Yeah, there's never been a more productive use of the word balls.
There's never been a more productive use of balls in general.
Yeah, that's true. Good point.
I like that. That's a hot take.
Yeah.
This is a real hot take.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to Ballscast.
Like the underside of Keith, what were you saying?
Wait, that was like the most confusing thing ever.
I like transitioned myself there.
But like you transitioned in a confusing way. The point of a transition is to see.
No, I think I got it, Keith.
One thing to another.
I think I know how to do it.
And instead you just confused everyone, including me, Kevin, and all the listeners.
So Keith, what have you been playing this week?
You don't start with me. We start with Stevie. Stevie, what have you been playing this week?
Take a guess.
If you say Ni No Kuni, I'm going to jump over this table and attack you.
We should pause the podcast, set up a video recording, unpause it, let me say Ni No Kuni so then everyone can see you jump across the table and attack me.
What are you
guess
play?
What I'm playing? It's Ni No Kuni.
Still? How many hours are you into that?
I said 85 before. I was at like 80 then, so I'm at 85 now.
That's riveting.
I just got a little dinosaur monster who's like one of the best monsters in the game. He's awesome. So
what's his name?
Dino.
Really?
Yeah.
Dino.
So
Dino the dinosaur.
I got a question.
I have an answer.
What happens to like the monsters you caught at the beginning of the game? Are they just like bullshit for like once again later in the game?
Yeah, they're terrible. There's a few that aren't, but like the one, so when they start you out, like they give everybody like their familiar, they're called familiars, and like you're the main character Oliver. His familiar is this little like Mighty Mite guy, and he's got a little sword and shield. He's cute looking, little spikes on his head.
Okay,
but he's the fucking worst. He's good early on, but like statistically, he's one of the like lowest stats in every category.
So you just throw him on the garbage pile once you're like 80 hours into the game.
I threw him into the garbage pile like 20 hours into the game. Like that, like he got me through like the early stages of like grinding to level up all my other guys, and then I got my other guy that I'm still using from that point, which was the little cat guy with a little sword, little cutlass. I named him Meowmers.
Nice. That's a terrible name.
It's a pretty good name.
You're a terrible name.
Keith is a pretty...
What is Keith anyway?
Yeah. Have you ever seen the Family Guy where Peter's trying to get into like an uncrackable safe and like the security question is, what's the worst male name in the English language?
Oh, yeah. And Lois, like, thinks for a second and then says, Keith.
Yep.
That's
happened.
You, Keith.
That's me.
That's you.
But, Stevie,
yes.
All your rambling put a thought in my head.
Ooh, ramble. That's usually a good thing.
If you could choose, what would your familiar be?
I like that.
What would your
like
familiar
that.
Be?
All right. First off, you're limited to the Ni No Kuni familiars.
Nope.
Oh.
But then I want to hear like...
All right, yeah. So you first Ni No Kuni, then we'll expand it, and then Kevin and I will contribute as well.
Okay. So I've seen a lot of familiars. I've caught a lot of familiars.
I'm familiar with the familiars.
My Ni No Kuni familiar, if I had to pick one to start out with, is probably the cat with the sword, because I've used him for so long and he is awesome. And he starts out as this little cat with a sword, and then you level him up into this like pirate looking cat, and he's got an eye patch, and he's just awesome. My number two, though,
what's your number two,
is the giant banana tree. That is also a familiar. It is literally just actually it's not even a tree.
Literally
just a bunch of bananas combined with a little head on top.
Okay.
A banana head.
They're called babanas.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Of course they're called babanas.
In the game they're called babanas, not bananas.
Oh my
and
God.
So
because for copyright reasons.
Right. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Can't copyright a banana. That's
Chiquita
science.
Would be all
Chiquita would
on
be
your
hit.
Shit.
You do not want to be on the wrong side of the Chiquita people.
It's
in fact,
true.
In fact, Keith, you better like scrub this podcast.
Yeah, we should just stop now.
No, I'm taking Game Time Bro offline.
Listen, we sent Chiquita too many times, and I think they're sending out assassins to get us.
Prima can't protect us.
No, Prima can't. Not against Chiquita. Do you know how important Chiquita is?
All right.
Yeah, number two is probably the Green Buncher.
Okay, now anything.
Anything?
Yeah, well, if it makes sense.
You're going to pick a Pokemon. You just get, like...
No, maybe not. Maybe not.
For your familiar? All right. What's your...
For my familiar, yeah. I would pick a giraffe.
A giraffe familiar.
Giraffe familiar.
Or would you pick Girafarig, the Pokemon?
Normal psychic?
Damn, I did pick a Pokemon. I didn't even think about it.
A
baby giraffe, I'd pick a baby giraffe that was, like, super strong and, like, headbutted stuff.
You know, giraffes only sleep 2 hours a day? That's a giraffe fact.
What? Giraffe fact.
Yep. Giraffe fact.
Nice.
You know their tongues are black because they don't get sunburned?
I thought they were blue.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. They can be many colors.
I learned on Salute Your Shorts that they were blue.
That is the tongue is black speech.
I thought it was blue.
No. That if you look that speech up from Salute Your Shorts.
No, I totally believe you because I haven't seen it in like 20 years.
I that's like my only vivid memory of Salute Your Shorts is a black tongue. Giraffes. Okay. The black tongue.
All right. I mean, I believe you. Yeah. I believe you. But so you're having baby giraffe, Kev.
Baby giraffe.
I want Nidoran. I want Nidoran male from.
You're picking a fucking Pokemon.
Why not?
Dude? I know Nidoran's your favorite.
Nidoran's my favorite. I almost did Nidoran last week for my favorite weapon, but Nidoran's so much more than a weapon. He's a companion.
Nidoran. All right. Well,
he's just cute. He's a little poison bunny. He evolves into a dinosaur. He's awesome. He's the best example of a Pokemon that makes no sense.
Wow. Really? Of all the ones that make no sense, you think Nidoran makes the least sense, or it's just the best one of all the ones that don't make sense?
It's the best one of all the ones that don't make sense.
Which is like 95% of them, yeah?
I mean, one of them's some keys.
That is Klefki.
No. That's not a Pokemon.
That's a Pokemon, dude.
Wow, they're fucking mailing it in now.
Steel
huh?
and fairy.
It's a potent combo, but still.
It is a potent combo.
I was interested in playing Pokemon. Now never. Never.
I mean, I will admit Klefki is cute because when you give it pets in the Pokemon petting thing, it jingles and makes a little noise.
Right. I mean, come on.
I can't be too mad about Klefki.
All right. Well, so I will say one thing. You were right. The question on the radio was, is a giraffe's tongue red or black? And then their counselor came in and said, the giraffe's tongue is black. And then whatever they won, he got to use. Sucked. Hard lesson they learned that day. You know what my familiar would be?
Bowser.
So let me take you back to a Christmas about 20 years ago.
Hold on. Stop the story. We already know the end. It's Bowser.
It's not Bowser.
What?
That's Bowser, no, because a familiar is supposed to be subservient. And if anything, I'm Bowser's familiar. All right?
I love that. I love the idea of like a powerful being having a human familiar. It's like some demon lord.
That's a good take. Okay, so familiar like Jeff.
So I will be there's Bowser's Craig, familiar, but I will also have a familiar as Bowser's familiar.
Okay.
Okay.
My familiar is actually an animated version of a toy I got for Christmas about 20 years ago.
Okay.
Let me paint you this picture.
Do it.
We've got Michelangelo of Ninja Turtles fame.
Nice.
But he has a handlebar mustache. He's got a sombrero on.
And he's got keeps going.
Cowboy boots. And guess what? He has a familiar. It's a little cactus with a sombrero.
What?
So we're talking three familiars in total.
This is getting real meta.
Yeah. So that's my answer, okay?
I would have settled for a familiar that is a sombrero.
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
is
I
the
guess,
cactus's familiar or just a could, sombrero?
I guess you could argue that there is another familiar in that line. But, you know, clearly I don't entirely understand the concept of a familiar.
No, you're pretty spot on.
But that is what I'm going with.
Michelangelo, mustache, sombrero, his familiar, sombrero, yes. Cactus. Yep.
I'm taking down notes for my next Pokemon.
Yeah. Oh, right? Man. That's cactus awesome. Type. Yep.
Gotta have cactus type.
Gotta
have cactus type. All right, Kev, you been playing anything?
I've been playing a little bit of Floating Point.
Please explain what that is.
Floating Point is a free game by the maker of Heat Signature and Gunpoint. And I don't know if anyone's heard of either of those.
Nope.
But
nope.
They're two very good indie games. Floating Point is like just a little free game on Steam. You have like a grappling hook and you swing around and you try and like get points. But like, it's just very calming and the music's very serene. And it's just about like being pleased with your own progress. It's great to play for like 10 minutes at a time. It's called Floating Point. It's really good. Other than that, I've been like way too busy making Project Bayonet to play anything.
All right. I buy that. Yeah. So, but like Floating Point is basically a stress reliever for you.
Absolutely. It's basically like, look how pretty physics are.
Is it in any way like Journey or Flower or anything like that?
Nope, because there's no story. There's no like, there are no characters. I mean, your character is just a dot that makes lines.
Okay, so but it's very stripped down. It's a simple concept.
It's just about the feeling of momentum and like the sort of idea you can quit anytime, you can move on anytime. You're just sort of up against yourself in the most calming way possible. It's great. I really like it. It's free.
There you go. That's good.
Floating Point is the game.
For me, actually, what I've been playing is the opposite of calming. I've been playing Legend of Zelda: A Link to the Past. And it's really been a rude awakening for me. Because, you know, we've talked about it time and time again that I don't have a lot of Super Nintendo experience. And I forgot how hard games are. And, you know, like, all these Super Nintendo games seem to be about learning from, like, death, like, failure. Like, I die so much, especially in the beginning, because I didn't even know how to fucking play. and I continue to die. I'm three or four dungeons in, depending on what you consider the beginning castle. So I'm about to get the Master Sword, and I'm fucking loving it. But it's so much different than any game I play anymore, you know? And
you ain't even in the Dark World yet, son.
Well, I was in the Dark World for like...
For a little bit.
Like 10
seconds. As a bunny.
As a bunny, I got a little... I got a heart piece.
Yeah, I mean...
It was a little... You know, it was invigorating. But I guess the real interesting thing I found is... Recently, I was talking about how I wanted more challenge in games after playing a lot of Time Splitters. And I've also just wanted something new, something different. And I found it in Super Nintendo because I just don't have a lot of experience. So it's pretty awesome. I'm very excited.
That's interesting.
Loving Link to the Past and can't wait to play the 9 other Super Nintendo games that I have.
Yes.
You're a Zelda fan.
I'm a huge Zelda fan, but I started with Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, and... When people compare Zelda games, it's usually Link to the Past to Ocarina.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ocarina is just, like, the perfect game for me, you know? I don't know. I just love it so much, and I can play that. I could literally play that, like, 10 times a year and be happy. But as long as we're talking about Zelda, I want to talk about Wind Waker. That game is so fucking good.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, that's all I can say about it. I don't mean to derail us so much.
That's
all right. I think that one deserves some discussion as the best Zelda game of all time. It's so good. So good.
Majora's Mask is my favorite. And like, I think there's like room for many, like, you know, everyone can have their favorite Zelda game, I think.
As long as it's not Skyward Sword.
Yes, as long as it's not Skyward Sword. I didn't get very far in Skyward Sword. I liked Groose because he seemed to be the only one who knew that Link is kind of a dick.
It is true. You know,
Skyward Sword wasn't terrible.
No, I liked it a lot, but it's
a missed opportunity, definitely.
Yeah,
well, the problem is that they're like, they went 100% to use motion controls, and it just didn't work.
Yeah, if they had just made a, you know, if they had just not Nintendo'd it.
Well, it represents, like, the most, like, the best, I'm trying to think of how to say this. Like,
it's a platypus.
this is as far as they'll ever get with motion controls with the Wiimote.
Yeah.
And it still sucks.
It's a platypus.
It is a platypus.
Here's what do you want me to unpack that, or do you want to just move on from it's a platypus?
No, unpack it.
Okay.
Unquack it.
So, there's a saying, a duck is a duck made by God, and a platypus is a duck made by a committee.
Oh, okay.
What we want out of Zelda is a duck. There's not too much we need out of Zelda. We need like a cool world, a cool story, we need a cool sword, and that's about it.
And a duck.
Yeah, and a duck. You can have ducks. There were ducks in, well, they're big flying ducks, but like...
Skyward Sword, it's true. Yeah,
but,
quack, quack.
Quack, quack, yo. But like, they're like, no, you can have all that, but also here are terrible motion controls, and...
But that's what I mean. Those are the best motion controls they could possibly do. Absolutely. Like, from what they were attempting to do in the beginning, like what they were envisioning, I feel like that's what they were envisioning from the start, and it still sucked.
Yeah.
It still sucked.
Oh. It was like you could lift your sword up in the air, watch Link turn it, and it's like, this is what they were advertising.
And then, like,
every
enemy was like, well, you can only slash them vertically, or you can only slash them horizontally.
They showed that in like the very first Wii commercial, like turning the sword and like, and then they finally did it a number of years
later. I still prefer it to the Twilight Princess Wii, just because all you do is shake it, you know.
Yeah,
like
the Twilight Princess Wii version was not great.
Yeah.
And then here's a boss with a giant eyeball, and you just got the bow and arrow. Gee, I wonder what you're supposed to do.
Did you play Majora's... You didn't, but let me finish this question. Did you play any of Majora's Mask on 3DS?
No.
But... It's interesting you bring up the giant eyeball, because they changed every boss in Majora's Mask to have a giant eyeball. Literally all of them have giant eyeballs.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, it's very weird.
Okay.
I think I've played it on both versions, and I think out of every boss, the only one that got better was the boss battle where it's like a flying like worm or something, and you grow big. Do you remember that boss battle in Majora's Mask?
Ooh. Is that the penultimate one?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah it's awesome in the 3DS version, because now you don't have a big sword, and instead you're using like you box the worm. I don't know. I can't even do it justice.
That sounds awesome.
It is awesome.
Majora's Mask is probably my favorite Zelda, but I can definitely admit that the boss battles are kind of weak.
Yeah.
Goat's cool. Goat's a cool boss fight.
Oh yeah, yeah. The one that I struggled with terribly was the fish, where you had to swim around and like electrocute him, and I felt like the controls were so broken that like that boss was impossible.
In Project Maiden, I spent so long on like water, and not like water effects, but just like making water something fun to be in, and I still don't. I don't think I entirely succeeded. Water is just kind of there as like an element in a few different levels, but like I was like, oh, I'm gonna have a water temple, and I'm like, wow, water temples aren't fun in any game. I bet I can make a fun water temple. I did. I took all the water out of the water temple, and now it's fun.
Like the first thing you do is step
on a switch, all the water drains, and you're like, I can go through the water temple now.
Ooh, I might do that.
That would be funny.
It was, oh my god. Like, I remember posting, like, an update where I was starting the design for that level. I'm like, I'm gonna do a water temple. It's gonna be great. And someone in the comments was like, really? You sure you want to do a water temple? I'm like, you don't know anything, comment guy. Water temples can be fun. No one's done it right because they're not me. Water temples suck.
Water temples are awful.
Well, the thing that sucks about water is...
You can drown in it.
You can drown in it. But, you know, I didn't write that piece of code, so that's not really a risk.
You didn't do any bubbles that I could swim through?
Well, Imogen's immortal, so I figured she just sort of took it like a champ and stayed conscious.
She's immortal? How do you lose in the game, then?
Okay, so...
Or is that a spoiler alert?
When Imogen gets stabbed or takes too much damage, she's just sent back a bit. So instead of being like, you died, beep, boop, boo, restart... And it's like time has rewound. It's time doesn't really rewind. It's you're stabbed, you're down, you come back up. It's like a continue screen, but it doesn't break the fourth wall. It's just like, you're coming back up. So it's not like I'm changing all that much. It's just narratively,
you try to explain.
Yeah.
You go down, screen goes white, you pop up at a different area that you were at before, right?
Right. Yeah. You just get sent back a little bit. Like you would if you died in a game, except you don't actually die. So like, I'm just working in death into the narrative.
I buy it.
And death is actually a little character in Project Maiden who sort of, when you die, you go to death's door and death is like, no, not yet. Go back. Go on. Ooh. Get out of here. But yeah, he has sort of a line, that I wrote. I've been writing a lot of scenes lately, but he has a nice line that I wrote. That's basically like, yeah, you know, it's not really a question of whether or not you're going to win. That's not really interesting to me as death. It's how you're going to win, at what cost, who are you going to lose, who are you going to alienate.
Hope Stevie dies. That's rude. Stevie's in the game, yeah.
Yeah, he is.
His image.
Three times.
Three times, fool.
Yeah, there are three Steves. Anyway. Yep. Anyway, Zelda, water.
Zelda, water. Water's no Project fun. Project Maiden, moving on.
Yeah, sorry.
Guess what time it is.
You walk in, step on a button, all the water drains, you do the temple.
Project Maiden comes out May 27th.
27th. Also my birthday, everyone.
No one cares. Guess what time it is.
Game time, bro.
Shame time, bro.
Shame time, bro. Nice.
Yes. Guess who's getting shamed?
It's probably me.
Stevie and B-Town.
Oh!
Shame time, bro. You guys... You know, so we have our Hall of Fame time, bro, and we all voted.
Yep.
And you two fucking voted on Buster Busts a Nut.
The X-rated Super Nintendo game.
No, what's the game actually called?
It is Tiny Toon Adventures Buster Busts Loose.
And from what I could tell, it's just a terrible platformer game.
With a lot of heart.
Or just a lot of Tiny Toon characters.
Also known as heart.
If I'm like groping for good reviews, I might steal terrible platform game with a lot of heart.
With a lot of heart. I'll look for that.
Yeah.
Look for that.
You know, and so shame.
Have you played it?
Shame on you.
Have you played it?
Shame on you.
Have you played it? Because I'm going to turn the shame around to you.
I rented it from Blockbuster and I remember it.
Oh, Buster. Get it? I wonder if it was exclusive Blockbuster's to Buster.
Blockbuster's Buster Busts Loose Bust.
Loose. All right, continue. Sorry, we derailed you.
No, it's a terrible game for babies.
You're a terrible game for babies. Thank you.
And you and B-Town voted on it. Yes, we did. You fucking idiots.
Yes, we did.
Shame. For shame. Kevin, can you please transition us here? Let's talk about something else.
Okay, I have a thing I want to talk about.
You do?
Yeah. So I've been listening to this band recently. And they are called Rare Candy, and they are a video game cover band from Baltimore, and they friggin' rock. They released an album, I think, 4 or 5 years ago called Bomber Blue and Gallant Green, and it's just got like some of the best like jam band style video game covers. But their latest CD is called Finally, and it's. I've been listening to it on loop nonstop since I bought it. It is just so good. So the first track is a cover of Rainbow Road from Mario Kart.
Nice.
Mashed up with Double Rainbow.
Okay.
All the way across the sky.
Wow.
It is really, really good. There's a 9-minute Metroid medley. There's an there's an 8.5-minute Chrono Trigger medley.
Ooh.
What's that song? Robo's theme.
Oh yeah, Robo. I don't think there might be a little Robo motif in there.
Okay, all right.
There's a Super Mario World cover. There's a Link to the Past cover.
I'm in.
Oh my god, it's like 10 of the best like game tracks.
And where'd you get it?
You can get it on their Facebook page. Currently, they don't have a Bandcamp yet, so you have to buy it if you want to listen to it. It's on cdbaby.com. But yeah, if you go to like facebook.com/rarecandy or Rare Candy Band, go support those guys. Because like, yeah, Baltimore's been a little rough lately. And And these guys are doing really good work, and they're making good game or good game music. And
that's so awesome. We'll have to listen to it after the pod.
Yeah, I'll check it out. Yeah. Sounds awesome.
It's really, really good. Yeah.
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 Well, Rare Candy.
That was my that was my shout out. I don't know. I've like it's weird when like it makes me nervous when I see like a band that I like that doesn't have a Twitter or something like that. So like I'm just like I hope they like get like support for this thing.
You have they, like anxiety for them?
I do. I have like social media anxiety for them because I'm like, oh, you're the thing you make is so good, and I just want people to hear about it. And like, not that you're doing a bad job of letting people know about it, but like, you should like promote the hell out of it because it's so good. So I'm trying to do my part and being a good
Rare Candy Blast.
Yeah,
Rare Candy
Blast. All those people listening to this podcast.
Rare Candy, if you listen to right now, we social media blasting you.
Boom.
Blast off. Okay. There's your plug for the week.
Yeah.
You know? Rare Candy, go check them out.
Yeah.
What I checked out recently was an article on, I don't even know where, so I can't give them credit.
Mm-hmm.
It was on the Arkham Knight DLC.
Boo.
So recently there was a lot of, little controversy because Rocksteady announced DLC, season pass of DLC for the upcoming Arkham Knight coming out in June.
Mm-hmm. The one that was pushed back?
Yeah. Well, let's not even get into it. It's coming out in June. But it's coming out in June, so that's 2 months away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess at this point, it's about 2 months because this is the beginning of May. It comes out at the end of June. They announced the DLC, the season pass DLC. It's $40, and they didn't tell you what was in it.
So they're like, seems worth it.
So they're like, give us 2/3 of a game, and we'll give you DLC that we haven't announced yet.
That season pass shit is the worst. It is the worst. It's like pre-orders from hell. And pre-orders
are.
But the worst part is like the first time I ever bought one, and it was because I didn't really understand. Like I thought it was like, all right, I get all the DLC ever, and then it's like, oh, I bought the season pass, but there's more DLC.
Yeah,
you know, and I hadn't even used the previous DLC, so I was like, no way I'm buying anything more from you. But you already got my fucking $20, so it's total bullshit. But the problem is that everyone wanted to play this game so much and loved Rocksteady, and everyone came out and was like, this is total bullshit. So Rocksteady finally at least detailed what the DLC was. And I thought I could go through it, see what you guys think, see if it's worth $40.
Oh, I'm going to make a prediction. I'm writing it down on a card.
Okay.
I'm writing it down right now. All
right, don't tell us yet.
Okay, I'm make a prediction as to whether
listeners,
or not...
are you listening? Kevin is writing.
Yeah, all right. I'm making a prediction as to whether or not this is worth your money.
All right, so I'm going to read it. Let's see. We've got an all-new prequel story expansion in an entirely new location where you play as Batgirl. That's one piece of...
That's a bullet point. That's one bullet
point.
Second bullet point. Second batarang point. Play as Batman in an all-new story mission featuring legendary supervillains invading Gotham City with new story arcs, missions, and gameplay features.
So that was a bullet point for play as Batman in a Batman game.
Yep. They basically just explained the game that they're already releasing. All right. Batarang point 3. Play as Batman's key allies in narrative missions extending their storylines from both before and after the events in Batman Arkham Knight.
Okay, so it sounds like the first Batarang dot point.
Yeah, right. 2 and 3 sound the exact same. Except one of them you're Batman and the other one's your allies, but it seems like you're doing the exact same thing.
But that's the same thing as 1, which is Batgirl.
And they use three different synonyms for story. It's like... story, like, play as Batman's allies in a narrative story thing.
Yeah, so we got TBD.
Narrative story epilogue.
Yeah.
You see narrative, you see mission, you see story arc, you see all those words. None of them are very specific. All right, last one. Handful of themed racetracks with Batmobile skins to match and alternate costumes for Batman, Catwoman, Nightwing, Robin, and Robin.
Okay, well, that one seems really good.
You want racetracks for your Batmobiles?
Oh, I mean, sorry, that seems like total bullshit.
Sorry, I misspoke. That's awful.
So we're talking $40. So we're talking $10 a bullet point.
Okay, yeah, that's a lot of stuff. Is that at the end of it?
That's the end of what I'll read.
Okay. That's a lot of stuff.
Actually, no, they have challenge maps as well.
Oh, challenge maps.
Ooh, crap. That's now worth it.
All right, now react. It.
But none of this is in the game. This is in the season pass DLC.
So yes.
And we don't know what's in the actual game.
Yet. Correct.
All right.
A lot of this sounds like it should be in the game to
yep.
start with.
Yeah.
Yep.
So,
And how do you guys feel about, like, DLC announced before a game even comes out?
Not great.
That's not a good sign.
Especially when it's this, there's this much of it. It's like, all right, well, you guys are clearly already developing this, probably mostly finished with it, and you're going to charge $40. You can, and they have the gall to release a special edition of this game for $100, and it's just the game with the DLC included. So you don't save any money. Actually, you lose a cent, because it would be $99.98, and instead it's $99.99.
Bastards.
The reason I feel so salty about this is because it feels like a shakedown, you know?
Yeah.
This doesn't feel like, you know, and, you know, the developers probably worked really hard on this game, and the shining parts of it, like the cool parts of it, are probably the parts that got chopped out of it for this DLC. Like, it just feels really, it feels a lot like they're just trying to beat the money out of us holding Batman hostage.
Yeah, it's like, you love Batman, don't you?
Yeah,
don't
right? Don't you? Well, he's in the tower, and you have to go get him. They're now $40 to get in,
and they have Batman hostage.
Yeah,
bastards.
I mean, but this has been a theme recently with like every game, like every developer, you know, is doing this with their games. It's like Mortal Kombat recently. Like, there's just so many microtransactions, but also DLC has already been announced, and it's just like, I just want to pay $60 once, get the complete game, and just, like, move on.
You know, it's 2015, and we're still paying $60 for video games. Or, in this case, $100 for a complete video game. Right. I know GameStop is beginning to transition out of the physical, you know, the physical media market. And pretty soon all our game downloads are going to be digital. And I can't wait for that, because the reason why DLC sort of came into existence is because people would play a game, trade it in, and, you know, the original developer would make no money off the used game from GameStop. But, like, I don't know. Is this stuff going to go away when we're purely digital? I don't think so, but I think it'll at least make prices better, because, Jesus Christ, I just feel like I don't know anyone... I don't know any one gamer who is eager to spend $100 on a Batman game that's been chopped up like this. It makes me mad.
It's like they gut it, and then they like make you spend $100 to put the guts back in.
Mm.
But hopefully, I mean, you know, we have a ton of digital only games that are, you know, $15-$20, which is nice, and hopefully one day we'll be kind of away from the thought that, you know, if a game's good, it has to be $60. It has to come out on, you know, physical disc, and, you know, it'll have DLC in like 3 months.
And, you know, all right, here's the thing. If Warner Brothers just like pulled its nuts up and said, guess what? Batman costs $100 and everything's included in this. You can't buy the $60 version of this game. There's only the $100 version of this game. That's it. I might respect that more.
Yeah, I would too. It's like, own up to it.
It's like, yeah, we want you to pay more for this game, but it's got all this shit in it. All the shit they listed, like, if they went about it in a way that was like, we have a product we're proud of, we have an experience we want to deliver to you, and it can only be experienced like this because we're in control of our own product, I could probably respect that a lot more than... Well, there's the $60 version of the game for losers.
Well, there's this one, and it comes with a cape.
But if you're a true fan, you'll buy the season pass.
I get it. I mean, it's just, it's a disturbing trend, and I hope it hope there's enough backlash that this doesn't become like the rule.
As long as they make money on it, I don't know if any amount of backlash is going to get them to stop.
Well, I mean, the backlash made them at least release details on the DLC. I can't imagine that they were thinking, we're not going to say anything about the DLC, and then in like 3 days later, we're going to release the details. But I know what you're saying.
I got Nintendo has been was late to the DLC game, and theirs are like the most reasonable, like pricing wise, and like it's funny, like, and maybe Sony and Microsoft need to
$5 for Lucas is such a fucking ripoff.
Fuck off. Get out of here. No,
we're not talking about Super Smash Brothers, Stevie.
I'm not talking.
No, we're moving on.
I'm not talking
we're
about moving that. On. I'm talking about Mario Kart too. Mario Kart is very well
I
managed.
I love Mario Kart. We're moving on.
Wait, I have one more thing.
We're not moving on.
We're staying put.
Just because there's an amiibo sitting in front of me. I think amiibos are actually one of the more ingenious and insidious DLCs out there.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a little tiny piece of game content that just sort of sneaks itself in there. And it's like, you don't even think about an amiibo as DLC. But that's precisely what it is.
Yeah. And it's still fairly reasonably priced. I mean, they could charge $25 for those things. Well, and they would.
Yeah. I mean, considering it unlocks things. Granted, most games it unlocks stupid things. But it unlocks things in almost every game.
Yeah, but you would never pay for, like, whatever the amiibo unlocks. But you'll pay for the amiibo.
Well, so I paid for the amiibo specifically for Mario Party.
Yep.
But I think a lot of people will pay for it just because of the amiibo. A lot of people, they buy one amiibo and they're like, well, if I have one, I might as well have 45, you know, like,
yeah,
but I get it. You're totally right. Like, this is amiibo is like the biggest thing Nintendo has done in a long time because they haven't been successful in many fronts recently.
Mm.
And my point is DLC isn't going away and DLC isn't bad necessarily. DLC can be a really good thing for players, and it can, you know, it can definitely spice up a game that, you know, maybe is feeling a little stale on the 100th play. But when you kick down the door with, you know, shit like a $40 season pass with no details and nothing but a price tag.
And then when the details come out, it's like, this kind of just sounds like what I'm going to play anyway.
It's got a narrative storyline with characters in it. Like, that sounds like you threw that together.
I know.
All your favorites, Batgirl and Robin.
Yeah, I don't want things
Zuma
cut
Chrome
out.
And Monster Mash.
Like, I'm all about more content. Just don't cut shit out that would have otherwise been in the game.
But, okay, so the thing about DLC is most of it's developed by the time the game launches, and it kind of has to be.
No, I know, but so, I get that, but I don't want it to be like,
you don't want it sold to you like, like a missing piece. You want it sold to you as an add-on.
Yeah, and it's a very fine line, and I get it. Like, they have to make money on the work they're doing. I don't want it to be like, this is our artistic vision. Oh, the powers that be say, we have to cut some of this out and sell it as DLC later because we could probably sell 80% of this game for the same $60.
Yeah, but that's what the big companies are basically going to do.
I understand, and I don't like it.
You know what? None of us like it.
Down with the system.
You know what I do like, though?
What do you like?
Game Informer? Not really. I don't like Game Informer very much.
You said that with a question mark.
Yeah, no. Game Informer? Nah, I don't like Game Informer. I'm sick of that zine. What I do like is their cover story for June, though.
Which is what?
They announced Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5.
Ooh,
did they announce the DLC for Tony Hawk's
Pro Skater? They haven't, but I'm sure they will.
It's going to be a skateboard with your face on it.
Yeah, that would be nice. I'd pay for that.
Remember when you could put your face into Tony Hawk games? Or was that a BMX game?
I don't know.
Anyway.
But so I have very limited details, but this is what I got.
All right, hit me.
Yeah. So it's funny because I say Game Informer, but I got this from Engadget. Who got it from Game Informer? So
same thing.
Engadget by way of Game Informer. Here's what they say. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5 may bear the series' classic numerical name, but it has a few fresh additions, including power-ups and the ability to shoot projectiles for specific missions.
I wish the listeners could see my face right now, because it is awesome.
Let me say that one more time. The ability to shoot projectiles for specific missions. What the fuck?
What? Yeah. What the fuck does that mean?
Missile board.
Also, when was the last time you heard power ups advertised in the video game pitch?
Well, fair. I love this. I love this because Tony Hawk, and when Skate was out for like PS3 and Xbox, that game took over. Like, took over the skating. Like, that game was so, it was so on point and it was so good that Tony Hawk kind of became irrelevant, because I think Tony Hawk tried to be like a realistic, like relatively realistic skating game.
Oh, and yeah, because you the can fact, manual forever, right?
Right. And just the fact that you can get power-ups and shoot missiles, I'm just making that up. I hope you can shoot missiles. If you're listening, anyone who's making Tony Hawk, please shoot missiles out of my skateboard. If you can shoot missiles out of your skateboard, they are accepting the fact that they are not, like, it's just like a fun, like, unrealistic skating game. And I'm all in.
I want a skateboard RPG where you choose your, you choose your board and you choose your class. So you have the rogue, who's just a thief on a skateboard. You have the wizard on a skateboard. You have a fighter in full armor on a skateboard. And they all have different stats. That and you have to like... skate together and do raids. I want World of Warcraft, but everyone's on a skateboard. So it'd be a lot easier to animate.
I'm so out.
Also, the thief would be on a longboard.
Was there no skateboard in Earthbound?
Oh, there's Lucas has the little walkie board.
Yeah, he does.
I hate Lucas. I hate him.
He's the man.
I gotta say, I'm not really that into these projectiles. I really thought they were gonna kind of go back to the basics of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5. Like, I thought that was the point.
What if they're just Mario shells? Like,
all right, I'm back in.
You like those?
Yeah. I do. You're
bananas.
Right. No, so I'm cautiously optimistic, but there's no room for projectiles in a Tony Hawk game. What are we doing?
Yeah.
What if it's projectiles like you're skating along and you pick up a rock and then you just throw a rock at somebody?
They're just like, you know what? Call of Duty is successful and they have projectiles.
Or Road Rash. That's what I was thinking.
Oh my god, I was thinking Road Rash. Like you take your helmet off and you just nail someone next to you.
When are we doing the Sega Genesis Hall of Fame? Because that is my top game.
Road Rash.
Road Rash.
Road Rash is an amazing game.
An amazing game. We will induct it
into the Hall of Fame.
Of course. And when we go to Bizarre Game Trading and see Will again, Will, what if up, you're Will? Listening, what up, Will? Please get Road Rash.
I'm not gonna buy Tony Hawk. I'm gonna tell you all right now.
What if it's a free to play JRPG?
I'm in.
Still no, because I want to make it. I can't support the competition.
Well, have you played Ollie Ollie? I mean, it's not.
Oh yeah, yeah, I have played Ollie Ollie.
That's a fun game. Good.
Yeah. But like, I don't know, man. I don't possibly see one how Tony Hawk is fucking relevant.
Look, now the people that
they're gonna target this game to, like teenagers and young skaters. They probably don't even know who Tony
Hawk is. This is targeted at us.
Yeah, definitely.
I know. Yeah. I know.
But I'm also not going to spend $60 on a skateboard game. I didn't buy a single Tony Hawk game in all of Tony Hawk history.
So the best skateboard game you can play is if you buy a tech deck and you ride it around on your desk at school. That's the best skateboard
game. That is the best skateboard game.
It's fair.
My cousin knows how to grind. I can't grind yet, though.
I could never even ollie. I just got it taken away. You know, my teacher was just like, you know what? You can't even ollie.
You can't even ollie. You're a chump, kid. Give me that.
You ever just like ride your tech deck into a pile of crazy bones and then throw your pog slammer out the window?
I hear that.
I am such a sucker for nostalgia. I will buy this game.
I hope you do. I'll play it with you.
Yeah. In the other game I'll buy specifically for nostalgia reasons.
Yeah.
Ukulele.
Yeah.
Good transition.
I know. We actually, you guys weren't there. We potted the other day and talked about Ukulele. But I feel like it bears repeating. Talking about Ukulele, a little update on their Kickstarter. It's been what, like 3 days or something? Mm. And they have 43,000 backers now for a total of $2.1 million.
Jesus.
That's roughly $50 a backer. How crazy is that?
That's impressive.
A little Kickstarter inside for y'all listeners.
Ooh, we got Kickstarter inside.
$25 is what the average Kickstarter user donates. Ukulele donators are at double that on average. So that's incredible. And that shows that people really want this thing. But like, also like 2 million, like they don't even have stretch goals left, right?
No, I think they blew past all of them. Oh my
God, really?
Yeah. I think they've been adding new ones, and one of them was so stupid. It was like, oh, we'll do a Let's Play with our game. It's like, oh, thanks, yeah.
Well, okay.
You get $25 for that, dickhole.
They should put three handsome villagers in the game. I think that's an extra goal. I love Playtonic games.
I actually don't, on Kickstarters, I don't really like stretch goals. I don't, and Kickstarter has remained neutral on stretch goals, and I don't think Kickstarter likes stretch goals either. But the idea, I think, of a good Kickstarter is to, incorporate everything into your base pitch. And stretch goals are nice, but, like, they can overcomplicate things before things even get going. So, like, that's why I'm kind of worried about stretch goals. Clearly, Ukulele doesn't have this problem because they have $2 million. Yeah. And they have 40 days left.
Right.
I'm just saying... my unwarranted opinion on stretch goals is they're kind of iffy.
I guess I sort of understand this one stretch goal, which is like, if we get this amount of money, it'll come to the PC. But if we get this amount of money, we'll bring it everywhere else. Because, I mean, there are added costs to do that. And you don't want to limit yourself to, you know, say, like, it's all or nothing.
Well, like, I mean, I spent a lot of time porting Project Man to Mac and Linux. And it is complicated.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, you have two Macs right in front of you.
Yeah, I do. I have one for each hand.
And, like, that is totally, like, that was totally worth it and stuff. But, like, after talking to, like, Linux people and Mac people, they're both, like, super appreciative. They're super appreciative of having something to play on their
computer. Yeah. It is nice because there are fewer games to play on the Mac. So you're going to have, you know, like, fewer games that are competition in a way. Yeah.
But like I revised that stretch goal early on because I kind of felt guilty about being like, you know, about dangling that in front of Mac and Linux folk, being like, yes, jump for it, Mac and Linux folk. You can make that stretch goal.
That's what Kickstarter is all about.
That is kind of what Kickstarter is all about, but that's like, you know, I think that's the darker magic of Kickstarter.
Sometimes you got to use some dark magic, bro.
I know.
Can you put this in perspective for me though? You know, probably. Yes, it's 43,000 backers, but if your game came out and only sold like 43,000 copies, that's a massive failure, yes? No, for a game with this much exposure, with this much talent involved, and you're bringing it to every console, right? Like,
is that their end goal?
They've reached all their stretch goals. They're coming to every.
Oh, so they've already hit every.
Yeah, so
every
they're going to Wii U, PS4, Xbox One, PC. I'm not sure about Mac and Linux.
Do I have to put money in so I can get this?
No, you can buy it at retail.
But I think that's. I don't think that's like a failure because one, it's $2 million already, and
I think I misspoke. Like I know. This is an incredible...
But that is a small number of people. And I think that that's okay. Kickstarter isn't a store. A Kickstarter isn't retail. Kickstarter is fundraising. It's not like... It's not supposed to appeal to absolutely everyone. Some people are very adamant about not supporting Kickstarters, and that's fine. If you don't want to pay for a product before it's out, that is your decision to make. But like... I think that if you look at something, you have to look at this not in terms of success in the big picture, but for a long, long time, everyone thought that this sort of collectathon puzzle platformer was over. It was too niche. There was nothing more you could do with it. There just wasn't anything interesting. And these fans are adamantly stepping forward, like Adventure Game fans did for Tim Schafer, and saying, "That's totally not the case. We will support this type of game." So it doesn't really, I don't think it really matters that this game becomes popular. I think it's already a success.
Yeah. I mean, and it totally is because it's going to be made and it's going to be made the way they want it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess my larger thought is if I'm like Microsoft or if I'm Sony, how do I see this? Is this something that translates into wide stream appeal because there's 43,000 diehard fans that will get the word out? Does Microsoft, based on this, does Microsoft make a Banjo-Kazooie 3? I guess is my real question.
I think we're also seeing a bunch of very well-educated fans because these are, you know, industry people. We got Grant Kirkhope. We got, like, the original creators of Banjo-Kazooie behind this. And I think the people who would buy Banjo-Kazooie or Banjo-3E or whatever.
Banjo-Kazooie 3?
Yeah. Already don't trust Microsoft because of Nuts and Bolts.
Oof.
There are some people that love that game. That's all I'll say.
I think Microsoft's only thought right now would be, why bother? They already spent all their money on Yooka-Laylee.
No, yeah, I get that. Okay, so you, but it does seem like if there's going to be a resurgence in this.
I'll put it this way. After Double Fine and Tim Schafer did all of their adventure game products, you didn't see Microsoft scrambling to do an adventure game.
It's true, but this is like a Banjo-Kazooie is a very recognizable property that people have been clamoring for a while.
Especially our age group.
And why else did they buy fucking Rare? Like, just Battletoads? Come on.
Sure, you want to sell Microsoft One doesn't have a lot of games right now. You want to sell a game. You say Banjo-Kazooie 3.
And Phil Spencer has been very like proactive in trying to win back, you know, the hearts and minds of gamers. I feel like it would work so well. I just want it so bad. Stop shitting on my dreams.
Like, why though? Like,
I love Banjo-Kazooie. Love it. I love Banjo. I love Kazooie. I love 3D platformers. I've got an Xbox One collecting dust.
and so it will stay. I think what's to add after Banjo-Tooie? I mean, like, you know, Bottles is dead.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Come on. Like the plot of Banjo-Tooie is like everyone's dead and we got a couple new characters, but basically we're winding down. Like, Nuts and Bolts doesn't even make sense. I don't know how Banjo 3 could like, save anything that happened.
I don't like negative talk about Banjo-Kazooie, so I think we should move on.
It's a dead franchise. Yooka-Laylee, just get used to Yooka-Laylee.
I don't want to play as a chameleon and a bat. I just don't want to do it.
All right, but if the chameleon
Banjo
had...
the bear, it's just, it's such a cute...
I will say...
alliteration. It's so great. Banjo the Bear.
I miss the pants. I think if the chameleon had pants,
you're so right. Why are they naked?
Yeah. They need to have pants.
Why is Yooka not wearing pants in a backpack?
Yeah, I really hate to say it, but that's like the only thing. Even like just like a shirt would be like, oh, that's a character. But it just seems sort of like it's a chameleon and a bat.
Yeah, but it stands on its hind legs. But this is Animal Farm.
What do I know? I made, you know, $12,000 on Project Maiden, and they made $2 million on Yooka-Laylee. So clearly, they don't need pants.
Yeah, that's where you're wrong.
That's where you're wrong.
Maybe if Imogen was a chameleon. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Imogen?
Imogen, yep.
Okay, sorry.
Maybe if Imogen was pantsless.
All right, let's not sexualize her, okay?
That's my daughter you're talking about, sir.
Ooh, that's weird.
Just stop. So, on a recent episode, I told you guys that I had to stop spending money on video games, right?
You did. I remember this.
I was 6 months off.
Yep.
That hasn't stopped me from looking for things to spend money on.
Oh, good.
All right, cool. So what am I going to spend money on today?
It's called EverDrive 64.
All right.
Have either of you heard of it?
No.
Okay, so what it is that a company that I can't even pronounce their name, but it has like three names in it, three Z's in it. It's like K-R-I-S-K-R-I-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z. I don't know. Something like that. Let's call it Skrizz. Let's just call it Skrizz.
Skrizzle.
Just Google EverDrive 64. You'll figure out who made it. It's a Nintendo 64 cartridge with an SD card slot. And you can just load as many, literally the entire Nintendo 64 catalog of games onto an SD card and play them directly on your Nintendo 64. We're not talking about emulation here. This is the real deal.
Okay. All right.
Every Nintendo 64 game, even like the Japanese and the PAL games.
I don't care. I'm sorry.
Every Nintendo 64 game.
I do care.
NBA
shut up, Kevin.
Hang Time.
I
Wave shut up, Race Kevin. 64.
Gauntlet Legends.
I can honestly say every game on the Nintendo 64 that's worth playing has either been remade or doesn't matter
anymore. Yeah, but you're supposed to play it on the Nintendo 64 controller.
Why? The controller
is
the,
awesome.
One of the
I know,
shittiest
you're
controllers.
Right. You're right. It's so
I'm
good.
Glad we can all agree that it is a great
the
controller.
Best controller.
It's literally one of the worst controllers to hold.
Nope.
No one has three hands.
That's the beauty of it. You can adjust. You never need the D-pad.
No one told Nintendo that no one has three hands.
It's the point
you
is
haven't
you
been trying
move
hard
your
enough,
left
friend.
Hand back and forth. You clearly know nothing about Nintendo 64.
You clearly know nothing about video games or making video
yeah,
games,
you know nothing.
Dumbhead.
I've just played
EverDrive 64.
Oh,
holy shit.
How much did it cost?
$100.
Yikes.
You could buy a Batman.
No, let's.
Oh, I'd rather buy Batman. Ooh, that's
no,
no,
no
I can't say that. That was
Batman
rude.
Batman versus every
that
Nintendo
was rude.
64
I'm sorry, you're
game.
Right. I... That was
every
a bad joke.
Nintendo 64
it's a really
game.
Bad joke.
What,
okay.
What like 64 game do you want to play that bad that you spent
Space Station Silicon Valley, which we've talked about on this program
it's,
before.
Oh my god.
It's
that
not
game.
Any specific game. It's literally
Gauntlet
on a
Legends,
whim
NBA
we can
Hang
play
Time.
Any game and we can record
Donkey
it
Kong
for
64.
Game Time, bro. It's
you work like what, 40, 50 hours a week?
Yeah, like 50, I'd say. Yeah. You know. And then the other however many hours, 150 a week I'm going to use on Nintendo 64.
Evermore.
I think it's an awesome thing. I would spend money on it if I was allowed. Another thing I
Keith
found.
Keith's looking at me saying, Stevie, buy this. Stevie,
another
this.
Thing I found.
Okay.
So apparently the Super Nintendo can send a SCART RGB signal. I don't know.
No that. Way.
It's pronounced skirt, Keith.
Skirt. So that's like standard in Europe, and
okay.
I guess all their old consoles had way better picture quality than ours did.
Oh, neat.
Because but you can import a one of those cables for Super Nintendo. It's like $20, and it makes your Super Nintendo look really good on your HDTV, and it's way cheaper.
Nice.
Yes. Way cheaper.
How much cheaper?
Like I said, $20 versus like 400.
Oh, I missed Yeesh. That part. I was
yeah.
sitting right here, everyone.
But I don't know. I just when I can't spend money, I just double down on looking up things to spend money on.
When you can spend money
yeah.
again.
But thankfully, hypotheticals are free.
Woo!
Yep. Let's do one.
Kev, you've got a hypothetical for us, right?
All right. This hypothetical is called You're the Boss.
It's a good NPR voice.
Please, no more NPR
voice. No more NPR voice.
I can't even hear you.
Keith, why don't you enjoy the NPR voice?
I can hear him.
Because of the way you look at me when you do it?
Keith, you have such lovely teeth and eyes.
Please stop this. Please.
All right, You're the Boss. One morning you awake and immediately feel strange. You get out of bed and realize that you are inside a posh hotel room you've never seen before. There is an attractive red-headed stranger sleeping in the bed alongside you. It's not Steve. You frantically get up.
How did you know I was going to inject myself into that?
Because you literally inject yourself into everything.
Fair point.
Everything
Continue.
With two legs, am I right?
Yeah! I don't care.
You guys high-fived. That's awesome.
Keith, what's up?
Keith, you want a high-five? All
right. High-five.
High-five it.
I'm too far away. It didn't make cool noises.
That's all right. Mike's picked it up.
There's an attractive redhead stranger sleeping in the bed alongside you. You frantically get up and rush into the bathroom. You look into the mirror. Much to your utter amazement, the image looking back at you is Bruce Springsteen. Somehow, you have magically become Bruce fucking Springsteen.
Yes.
You start talking to yourself, and the voice you hear is Springsteen's speaking voice. You quietly sing to yourself, and it sounds like Springsteen's singing voice. You walk back into your hotel room and see an acoustic guitar. You attempt to play it, but your musicianship is identical to how it was when you were your previous self. In other words, you have Bruce Springsteen's physical body and vocal cords, but you have your own mind and skills. And all of your experiences and memories are unchanged. Your knowledge of Springsteen's lyrics and the details of his personal life are the same as they always were. You are inside Springsteen, but you are still yourself. Your brain is unchanged. Here's the alternate or the preceding text. You open the door of the hotel room and see a copy of the Los Angeles Times. You flip to the entertainment section and discover that Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band are scheduled to perform a concert that night at the Staples Center. What do you do in this situation? How do you proceed?
All right. First, I want to say I'm not 100% confident we haven't already done this one.
Oh, we have?
I'm not sure.
I don't either.
Why did you stop me? That was like...
No, because I have a good answer for this.
Okay.
I'm going to get on stage and announce that I'm overrated. I'm going to tell everyone, look, I don't know why you guys like me. Whoa. So much. I'm an average singer. I'm a horrible lyricist, and you guys should listen to someone else. Don't listen to Beyonce, but don't listen to me either.
Wow.
That's right.
Will you at least admit that Thunder Road's pretty all right?
It's all right. No, I mean, he has some catchy songs, some of them, but most of them are pretty uninspired lyrically.
If I was at a Bruce Springsteen concert and Bruce Springsteen got up and started talking about how overrated he was, I would be like, this is the greatest concert experience of my life.
I know. I think I've delivered.
And I've seen Bruce Springsteen in concert. I've seen him in concert before, and it's awesome. He does a good concert.
I bet.
I totally respect his energy, his passion, and like everything he does. I get why people like him. No, but he's overrated.
Yeah, he's a transitional musical source.
I, on the other hand, would go out there and fucking kill it.
Oh, because you have kill a it. Ton of musical talent.
I would
you?
Ditch the guitar. I would be like, yo, Max Weinberg, hit me up on them drum slaps, and everybody else, and Clarence is there, and he's playing this. Oh, no, he's not. Yikes.
Yeah, ouch.
Yikes. Well, I'd find another saxophone player, and he'd be just as awesome, and then we would just play Born to Run every song.
That's on loop. You know how I just gave the best concert of all time? You just gave the
second best concert of all time? I agree.
You just gave the worst.
I agree.
Alright.
Maybe we were born all right. to run.
You're a Bruce Springsteen. Are you doing?
Here's the thing. I have no musical talent.
Oh, I don't either, by the way.
That makes three of us.
I do know all the words to Born to Run, though.
I don't have perfect knowledge of all Bruce Springsteen lyrics. So I feel like I'd feel like too bad, like canceling the concert and putting all these fans out. But what I would do is I would find the nearest Chili's bar and grill, and
obviously
I would show up on karaoke night, and I would be Bruce Springsteen, but I would only sing Journey songs because I've got a pretty decent knowledge of the band Journey. So I would, instead of giving a mediocre Bruce Springsteen concert, I would give the best. I was at Chili's and Bruce Springsteen was there and he was just singing Journey songs.
So didn't you? That is awesome. But you said
anyone at that Chili's would be so pumped.
Yeah, but what about everyone at the concert? You said you didn't want to put them out. You just put them out by going to Chili's.
I would call up.
You could reschedule.
I would call up Jacob Dylan.
Okay.
And I would be like, Jacob, it's Uncle Bruce. Listen, I can't do this concert tonight. Do you want to do a Wallflowers concert at Staples Center? And then everyone would be reminded that Wallflowers is a great band.
Why don't we take it a step further and let Rare Candy open?
Ooh.
Ooh.
I don't think that would be their venue.
Well, you're the one that said they need some exposure.
Oh, yeah, they're great, but, like, they're, like, I don't know if the Bruce Springsteen crowd of, like, you know, ravenous baby boomers is going to want to listen
there
to
there are some covers. People hey, in the middle of that Venn diagram.
You know what? Less than Jake started out opening for Bon Jovi.
And look at them now. They're the most successful band ever.
Yep. You heard it from Keith.
Yeah, that's fair. But yeah, that's my plan. My plan would be to use my connections to reschedule a better concert
at Chili's
at the Staples Center. And then, as Bruce Springsteen, go rock the fuck out of a Chili's.
What I After my concert, I'd commit a ton of crime. I would steal.
Oh. Sorry.
Oh, no. It seems like you got a really good idea.
No, I would definitely I would call up my dad, but as Bruce Springsteen, and just like, because my dad loves Bruce Springsteen, and I'd just like make his day and be like, Michael, you're a fine young man, you're gonna make it. And then I would write the biggest check to my household that Bruce Springsteen could cash. And then I would ask to speak to myself to see if Bruce Springsteen is trapped in my body.
All right.
And I'd be like, listen, Project Maiden is out in 2 weeks. Bruce Springsteen, you better not fuck me on this.
Get to work, kid. You know how to program? Doesn't matter.
What if
sit
you
in this
just
chair.
Backed yourself on Kickstarter?
Oh, you used all of Bruce Springsteen's money.
You could start a new Kickstarter for a new game and just have yourself kickstart it, and then it would be all above board.
Mm.
Yeah, the game is called Born to
Run.
It's called Cool Time, bro.
I don't know if too many people would trust, like, it's Flappy Bird 8. Then there's one donor for $1 million.
Bruce Springsteen says this game's cool.
Wow, Bruce Springsteen must really love Flappy Bird. All
right. Well,
it's a mixture of Final Fantasy VIII and Flappy Bird. It's
the
greatest.
The last thing I'd do was I'd go to that fucking fiscally irresponsible wizard and sell my looks.
Nice. Wrapping the hypotheticals together.
Yeah,
like
but you know what we're doing now, Stevie?
What are we doing now?
We're forcing you to play PT.
No, we are shutting all the lights off. Nope.
But first, we got to wrap up this podcast.
That's true. We do.
Kev, you want to plug a little bit before we do it?
Yeah.
Project Maiden.
Oh yeah, that. Project Maiden.
I know you're Bruce Springsteen now, so.
Project Maiden comes out May 27th.
It's Stevie's birthday.
That's my birthday.
May 27th.
You can find it at supertrystudios.itch.io/Project Maiden.
That's my NPR voice.
That was great.
It's also my birthday.
Is there a midnight release? Can I play it 12
if I'm,
a.m.?
If I'm not, like, working on it...
up to the last minute.
I was under the impression that it had to be in by midnight on the 27th.
All right, so a midnight release the next day, really.
Maybe, yeah, we'll see. We'll see how...
Okay, well, you know, everyone listening to this, you guys need to play it, definitely.
Oh, yeah, once it's done.
Once it's done, it's
It'll
not
done.
It'll
be done, yet. 27th, May 27th.
But what is done... is that latest Instagram post on Game Time, bro. What'd you put up, Stevie?
I put up a picture of the Bowser amiibo that you got, and he gave himself a little selfie.
Yeah, that's definitely the best thing we've ever done on this
website.
Yeah,
I know. Kevin's in there, too.
It's a belfie.
Like
it's a belfie.
It, no, it's not a belfie. Bowser's butt would be just a tail.
But, so, you know, check us out on Instagram or Twitter, Game Time, bro. Send us emails if you hated this podcast.
Or any other podcast.
GameTimeBro@GameTimeBro.com. But I'm Keith.
I'm Stevie, and PT sucks.
And I'm Kevin.
Bro off. What time is it?